You're listening to the free, ad-supported version of Truth News Radio Australia. If you're already a subscriber to Truth News Radio, you can access our ad-free content by logging into your member account at truthnews.com.au and going to the subscribers area, which you'll find under the member menu. If you're not a subscriber, you're most welcome to access our free content, but I encourage you to become a subscriber. We have several options available, including a concession option for those who can't afford the full year subscription price. For those who do subscribe for a full year, we offer the unique TNRA t-shirt and a resource DVD, which we'll send to you simply for the price of postage. Thanks for listening to Truth News, and we now return you to the show. Tune to Truth News Radio Australia on the 17th of January 2015. Great to have your company today. My name's Hereward Fenton, and welcome to our first show for 2015. Well, today I'm going to be looking at the ongoing crisis in France, and I'm going to try to give you my take on some of the key questions about it. I want to kind of zero in on some of the controversies and some of the more unclear aspects of what really took place. And I want to sort of tease apart the important threads from that, from things that I think are probably less significant that we should try to let go of, because we need to really focus on the big picture to understand what's going on, and to understand how we as citizens of a democracy need to act to preserve the basic institutions that make our society a good place to live. So that's all coming up shortly. Later on in the show, I'm going to be turning my attention to another issue which is interesting to kind of compare to the issue of free speech in France, because it's an issue about free speech in Australia. And I'll be talking a little bit about the anti-vaccine campaigner Cherie Tenpenny, who's been subjected to a barrage of extreme propaganda from the media and from a lobby group called the Stop the AVN group. That stopped the Australian Vaccination Network group, as well as a number of doctors, including one prominent member of the Australian Medical Association. And they're pressuring the government to actually revoke Cherie Tenpenny's visa. This is very interesting because at the same time as this, we're hearing all this talk on the news about the importance of free speech and how terrible it is that the Islamic extremists don't want to allow people to basically say what they want. You know, they try to control you, threaten you, kill you to stop you from speaking, right? Now, the simple fact is that free speech is very limited in Australia and in France. There are all kinds of restrictions on what you can say. France as well has hate speech laws, just as Australia has anti-vilification laws. But in a case like this, with the vaccine controversy, this is someone who's certainly not peddling hate speech, yet she is being put in front of us as an example of someone who's meant to be of poor character, similar to the American pickup artist Julian Blanc, who advocated that men should choke women as a way of flirting with them. I mean, obviously this guy was antisocial. Obviously this guy was of poor character, and he did have his visa revoked. But I mean, they're using this type of concept to try and expel someone from Australia or to prevent them arriving in Australia who simply has alternate information, and she's highly qualified. She's got a lot of good qualifications. She's an osteopath and she's an emergency medic. But you know, she has a number of qualifications which are quite substantial and quite credible. Yet, and her agenda, her intention is simply to help people make up their minds, help people make a decision about their health. But this poor lady is being treated as if she is almost like a terrorist. I mean, as if simply having an opinion and giving some public lectures is a terrible threat to our society. So where is the free speech? I mean, I honestly, it is just so confusing today. It's so confusing from the mental perspective on this, trying to psychologically, intellectually understand what is really going on, because there's so many paradoxes. There is so much complete contradiction between what is being said by various parties. And if you watch the TV, you watch any major news corporations interviews and talking points, they're just going to really, really confuse you. They continually bring in so-called experts to give opinions, which appear to be opinions that have been solicited to just push one particular viewpoint. So let's carry on now to talk about the stuff that happened in France. Now, ongoing from that, today there are new reports that another terror cell has been busted in Belgium, and they said it was imminently going to orchestrate an attack on police in Belgium, and they just in time were able to get in there and neutralize this terror cell in Belgium. So what is going on? I mean, I'd just like to add to you my summary and my take on various perspectives that have been brought up on this. There has been a lot of discussion as to whether this Charlie Hebdo attack was staged or was a false flag, and I think that's always a fair assumption to make in today's world, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, we should assume that this type of event is, if not partially connected with intelligence services, or indeed completely orchestrated by them every time. And the simple reason for that is that the whole world of extremists, of jihadis, of political groups who are opposed to various governments in the world is deeply interpenetrated by international intelligence agencies who are often running operations. You know, they're often, they've got a lot of money, right? So they've got money to actually even create networks. This is actually going on continuously. And sometimes it can be called a sting operation. Sometimes it's they just call it intelligence gathering. But what they're doing is they're consorting with people who are willing to go to the extremes of killing, of blowing things up for political ends. And this is so well documented, and I know the listeners to this show are well aware of it, so I won't harp on that point too much. But you really have to consider that. And it really is a terrible shame that most of the general public remains unaware of how deep this goes, of how deep the rabbit hole goes in terms of the way our law enforcement, even on a national level, interacts with these criminal elements. I mean, it's been exposed so many times that the Australian Federal Police actively engage in plotting terror attacks with targets that they have actually selected and groomed. And in the United States, they go to the extent of actually bringing money along and offering money to help these plots along, and it's just so they can make the bust. This is the way the whole system works. It's a totally corrupt system. And, you know, I really wish that were not true. I really wish I did not have to be saying this. But my own researchers have led me to the conclusion that we live within a very corrupt system. I know there's a lot of really honest people at every level who themselves aren't breaking the law. But there is an element that is continually subverting the law, subverting democracy, simply serving the agendas of the rich and powerful. There is also, within the ranks of all those people who are otherwise honest, a tendency to turn a blind eye, to deliberately ignore evidence that their own masters are actually lying to them. This is the biggest problem of all that we face, is that there is this tendency in the masses to empower those who actually are enslaving them. When evidence comes forward to show that you've been misled by the powers that be, it really is a breach of the social contract. It basically means all bets are off. It means you can never trust them ever again. So when we hear about these terror attacks and terror cells and arrests, we have to put that in the context of what we already know. And, you know, we know that on a regular basis, the law enforcement within Australia and the United States are continually involved in falsely creating conspiracies just so they can make a bust. I mean, there's plenty of documented evidence that they do that. Now, a lot of discussion has come forward about the Charlie Hebdo attacks from some sources that I regard as very, very credible people, like Paul Craig Roberts, just talking about how the whole thing has the general look and feel of a false flag staged operation. I mean, the fact that the attackers completely concealed their identity means that there is no witness identification of the people who actually did the shooting. But they so conveniently left an ID behind. Subsequently, the killers were themselves killed in a shootout, but that was at a later point in time, and it may well be that those people who were killed were simply the patsies that had been set up to take the blame. Now, of course, we can't prove any of this is true. We're never going to be able to, folks. We're never going to have that kind of smoking gun evidence that shows that all of these assertions is true. People who shout down conspiracy theorists who say, oh, these people who make claims about false flags are all nutcases, can always assert that there is no evidence to prove the conspiracy theories. Of course. I mean, we're in a situation where our society is deteriorating very rapidly. There is multiple evidence going back over more than a decade to show that that is the case all around the world. We've accumulated enough general evidence to know that we're dealing with very, very corrupt forces at work that are deeply embedded within our governments and our law enforcement agencies. So before we get carried away with all the rhetoric about Islam and the true nature of Islam, whether Islam is a terrible religion, we really need to put our own house in order. I mean, we're just not in a position to be talking about other cultures at all when our own culture is in such a mess. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We will be right back. Don't go away. welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. My name's Harry Wood Fenton. It's a great pleasure to be able to bring you this show, and we will be continuing this year, and I'll be bringing you as many guests as I can, hopefully good quality interviews. We'll be getting into a lot of important issues, and I do hope to get some people on to talk about the Islam question. I really want to actually engage with the central question about Islam, the nature of Islam, violence in Islam, and comparing Islam to other religions to get a clear perspective on the proposition that many people have raised in Australia, in Europe, in America, that Islam is somehow uniquely dangerous, uniquely undemocratic, uniquely a threat to civilized society. I personally don't believe that's correct. I don't believe that that the problem that we are seeing in the world at the present with terrorism and with Islamic State and these extremist groups like Boko Haram in Nigeria are a symptom of Islam being the problem. I think what they are a symptom of is people in very oppressed, corrupted countries striking back under the umbrella of an ideology. And I want to raise as a comparison to this the ideologies of revolutionary Marxism, which were very predominant throughout the 20th century, particularly around the middle of the 20th century, just after the Second World War, and were perceived as being as great a threat to democracy and civilization at that time as Islam is now. And I further put it to you that that there was a huge propaganda effort on the part of the imperial puppet masters of the West to make you, the general public, believe that this was the case, because that indeed empowered them. It gave them more ability to control and manipulate the society. And we have absolute ironclad proof that this was the case, because the records of Operation Gladio have been fully exposed and show exactly that. Operation Gladio was a CIA-led infiltration, terror cultivation operation in Western Europe that started really almost right after the end of the Second World War, where the CIA, the OSS as it was then termed, got in there and started recruiting fascists to go undercover and work for them. Later on, they started recruiting communists. And in Italy, this developed into quite a serious terrorist network. Also in Germany, one of them was known as the Red Brigades, the other was the Baader-Meinhof group. And real terrorist attacks were carried out, but these were actually engineered and orchestrated by intelligence services. And this has all been fully exposed. This is all now a matter of public record, which has been exposed in Italy. Now, I wanted to compare for you the mindset, the emotional headspace of people who are engaged in, who were engaged in revolutionary Marxist terrorism, with those of the present day who are engaged in Islamist violence. It has a very similar cause. You know, it comes from people who feel dispossessed, people who have a lot of anger, people, often not particularly strong-willed people, not particularly intelligent people, but people who can be manipulated, people who can be easily led, but who have a lot of this anger and resentment. I do apologize for my voice today. I have a bit of a cough, so I'm clearing my throat a lot. This is the same type of phenomenon, ladies and gentlemen. And once you understand it, once you recognize that it is this type of phenomenon, you then realize, well, it's not really about the religion then, is it? I mean, look at what happened in Cambodia. Cambodia had a death cult, very similar to the ISIS death cult in Syria and Iraq. They engaged in very similar activities, inhuman, brutal, unbelievable, anti-human behavior. The mechanisms, the psychological mechanisms by which people were drawn in to do this are the same psychological mechanisms by which people are being drawn to do this now in the present day. They're people who come from the bottom rungs of society, people who don't really have very much to lose, people who have been dehumanized by war, people who have seen their families taken away from them, lost their parents, people who are dispossessed. And amongst such people, psychopathologies develop. And anger and hatred become something like a force within them that can be harnessed. Now, it can be harnessed in the form of suicide bombing. It can also be harnessed in the form of the sort of atrocities that we've seen committed in Syria and Iraq. And it can also be harnessed in the form of these crazy people who apparently killed all of those journalists. Now, let me make it clear. I'm not stating a strong position as to whether the murder of the 12 journalists at Charlie Hebdo was staged or not staged. It certainly has a lot of the hallmarks of it, and we shouldn't be surprised if it was. But rather than trying to prove that or trying to get into all the details of that, I mean, let's just leave that now, and we've raised it, and that's on the table as a piece of evidence. But let's also look at the psychological underpinnings of the people who really are murderist extremists, who we know do exist. Because that's just as important, and that's equally evidence for the type of overarching problems that I'm talking about, the type of It's the exploitation, it's the conquest of other people's culture, it's the despoilation of their societies that leads people to become crazed in this way. There are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. And the, you know, vast majority, I mean, 99.9% of them are extremely peaceful people, right? And some may say, oh, well, yes, they may be peaceful, but they agree with the actions of the extremists. Well, you know, a lot of Western Christians agree with actions of extremist governments too. A lot of Western Christians have very extreme views if you actually talk to them. But that doesn't mean that they are guilty. I still don't agree with their views, but that doesn't mean that they are guilty. So you can't just say, well, the fact that certain Muslims agree with this or agree with that, so what? It means nothing. Most people want to live in peace. Most people will never engage in this type of violence. It is the type of violence that is simply the product of a dysfunctional, psychopathological system that these people have grown up with. And that's why I say let's compare Islamic extremism with communist extremists of the 20th century. And you see, yes, it's the same problem, the same pattern. We're going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Stay with us. Back with Truth News Radio. Now, before we move on from the Charlie Hebdo shootings, I just wanted to point out from my own research that the magazine Charlie Hebdo was actually on the verge of bankruptcy before this event. Their circulation was only 60,000. Their circulation of the latest copy is 3 million. And it has certainly rescued them from financial oblivion. Now, you know, would they go to the extent of staging the murder of 12 of their staff? No, of course not. I'm not suggesting that. But there is something going on here that is very, very bizarre. It's not simply as it's been portrayed to us. The publications of this magazine were particularly nasty towards Islam. And it seems that they've been given a free pass to attack Islam. And it seems like a provocation. And it could well be that powers that be have used this publication as a way of provoking, of picking a fight with the Islamic extremists. And why would they do that? I know a lot of people would think, that's crazy. Why would they want to do such a thing? Why would anyone want to pick a fight with anybody? Well, it is all part of a global agenda of total hegemony. It facilitates the invasion and occupation of the whole of the Middle East. And it's also necessary. Without it, there just isn't enough public will. We don't see it as being a terrible problem that has to be dealt with. So just bear that in mind. None of this can be construed as evidence, and I'm certainly not wanting to push any conspiracy barrows on this show. But what is very clear is that there is an agenda of global domination. So let's turn now to Cherie Tenpenny. I want to play to you a clip from Channel 7 in Australia talking about the movement to have Cherie Tenpenny's visa cancelled. Cherie Tenpenny is an activist, a spokesperson for those of us who disagree with vaccines. And her free speech is, virtually completely curtailed in Australia. Her main speaking venues are all cancelled. And the government has been pondering whether they should actually cancel her visa. So let me just play to you this clip from Channel 7 News.
A social media campaign has managed to stop an American anti-vaccination campaigner from lecturing in Australia. Most venues have now cancelled her booking. The Medical Association accepts her right to speak, but doctors are quick to point out her area of medical expertise doesn't cover immunisation.
She is the face of the American anti-vaccine lobby. She was on her way to Australia to say something like,
I really believe that if we stopped vaccinating completely, and I truly believe that most chronic disease would just go away.
But a community backlash wants to stop Cherie Tenpenny's visit with a virulent campaign on social media, with Facebook messages and tweets like, anti-vaxxers kill our children. Hashtag stop Tenpenny.
If you don't vaccinate your kids, you're playing Russian roulette with their lives.
Chris Kokogai's son, Michael, died after contracting chickenpox. He had not been vaccinated.
If getting Michael's story out there helps prevent even one child from passing away, then it's worth it.
It only causes harm. It really doesn't make you immune at all.
Already, all but two of the 11 venues have withdrawn support.
This is a free country and it's a free speech.
Michael Nee has accepted the anti-vaccine speaker, but he is nervous.
We have received bomb threat.
Ridges Hotels will also host Tenpenny, an osteopath by training, not an immunologist.
I actually find osteopaths very good for my back and neck, but I don't really know what they know about immunisation. That's not their area of expertise.
The Australian Medical Association and paediatricians like Robert say they support free speech, but few support the misinformation of Mrs Tenpenny.
It would be terrible for parents not to get their children vaccinated against potentially deadly infections. And I'm really pleased that she won't be seen as much as she might have been otherwise.
James Thomas, 7 News.
So there it is, folks. I mean, this is a real free speech issue, extremely important free speech issue. And the thing about free speech is that it's not only free for you to say what big corporations and the government think is okay. That's not free speech. You know, you've got to be free to actually talk misinformation as well, if you want to call it misinformation. That's part of free speech. If you want to deliver misinformation in a free society, you must be allowed to do so. But there is a huge pressure in Australia to have this woman silenced, just completely silenced by law. So, honestly, it's really paradoxical. It is really hard to wrap your head around the contradictions in the modern frame of mind of the average person. I think it's incumbent on all of us who do have a glimpse of what's going on here to try to do more to reach out to explain the simple truths about life to people. These really are simple truths. Is that you can't pretend to advocate free speech on the one hand and agree with silencing people who you simply disagree with. Like, you cannot morally, you cannot do that. I'm at a loss to know even how to deal with it. And there are so many people. My Facebook account is brimming with people who are just like that, who think it's okay. Because just like the man in the video, they say, well, it's misinformation, so we shouldn't allow Cherie Tenpenny to peddle her misinformation. Of course, we can argue till the cows come home about whether indeed it is misinformation. I don't think it's misinformation, but even if it is, you see, the discussion has really moved. The discussion has lurched towards extremism, towards intolerance and authoritarianism. 10 or 20 years ago, it wasn't a big deal about people having little lectures about this or that, you know, natural health. You know, eat well. You know, maybe you won't have to go to the doctor so much. You know, take care of your health. You know, don't buy so many pharmaceutical products. This could be construed as dangerous speech and banned. Basically, the problem we have is that there are lobby groups who really represent the interests of large companies who don't like people having an opinion. They don't like people going against any activities that are to do with profits. So they basically are protecting their commercial interests, and they regard the public as simply something to be used for their commercial interests. I'll play to you another clip now from Fairfax Media, and this continues in the same vein from where we were listening before. Here we go.
The row over vaccinations looks to be once again about to boil over in Australia.
Every bit of credible medical research points to vaccination as a necessary health measure for children.
On Monday night, ABC's 7:30 aired a story on US vaccination rates, but came under fire for the way it introduced this man.
If more vaccines equaled more health, you would see that America would be by far the healthiest nation on the planet. Whereas what you actually see is that America is 56th in infant mortality, which is below countries like Cuba and Serbia.
Social media was quick to take the current affairs program to task over presenting James Miskell as merely a father. Tweets brought to light he's in fact a high-profile anti-vaccine campaigner, along with the CEO of a natural healthcare business.
There are other symptoms of autism and things that go along with autism, like bowel disease, like encephalitis, and like febrile seizures, that absolutely have a lot of science that show that those can be caused by vaccination.
Even Miskell.
We're just going to break here with Truth News Radio Australia, and we'll be continuing with more on this topic of vaccines when we come back, and the very important question about American campaigner Cherie Tenpenny. Don't go away.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying, something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
And welcome back here with Truth News Radio. And we're talking a little bit about vaccines today. And, of course, the questions about Cherie Tenpenny being banned from Australia, a huge movement against her by lobbyists. Now, when I say huge, it's not really huge, you see. That's the way the media wants you to think. In fact, it's just actually a small group having a huge effect, because they are able to commandeer all of the mainstream news, every single channel, every single radio show, every single newspaper. And they all apparently speak with one voice. And so the poor average punter is left believing that, well, it's game, set and match, isn't it? You know, no one possibly agrees with these vaccine wackos. The only solution, folks, is to turn off your TV. That may well be my title for today's show. I mean, I think really the time has come to turn off the TV. And we have to encourage others to do the same. We need to find other ways of passing our time other than turning to these purveyors of lies and toxic information known as the mainstream media. And I'll include Hollywood in that, by the way. Hollywood, which provides us our entertainment, is also a very, very toxic environment from the point of view of truth. I mean, I was quite disgusted when I saw George Clooney at the Oscars or somewhere anyway. He was saying, Je suis Charlie Hebdo. You know, looking such an immaculate gentleman, and everyone must think, George Clooney, what a wonderful man. You know, he's just an actor, okay? He's just paid to do this. And you're supposed to believe that he has these wonderful ethics. You know, there are a lot of really important topics in the world, a lot of really important issues. The issue about Charlie Hebdo has just been raised up above everything else because of its propaganda value. When I see people like George Clooney acting as the front man for it, it again reminds me of the fact that Hollywood is all part of it. Hollywood, the mainstream media, all work together to push propaganda memes. Anyway, let's just continue now with another piece of media coverage of the vaccine controversy in Australia. I'm just going to continue playing from where we left off before the break. Here we go.
Bell himself jumped on Twitter, explaining he'd always been open about his interests with the show's producer. This comes as another social media storm over vaccinations is looming. The hashtag #StopTenPenny is gaining traction online, an attempt to prevent US anti-vaccination campaigner Sherry Tenpenny from entering Australia for a speaking tour in March.
We've always been told that vaccines are safe, but we've never really explored the other side. Are vaccines unsafe? Vaccine safety studies are short, they're inconclusive, they don't go on for a long period of time.
An online petition has also been set up to block Dr. Tenpenny from entering the country. She's scheduled to give 6 seminars across 4 states, starting in Melbourne on the 1st of March.
Now, folks, it is my aim to get Dr. Tenpenny on this show, and I'm also going to get Dr. Vera Scheibner back on the show to talk about the whole topic. We're going to probably do a whole 2 hours on it. You know, I think what's particularly horrifying in this case is the way they've actually conflated Sherry Tenpenny with the pickup artist Julien Blanc. In a way, it's a giveaway of how lacking in morals they are to do that, to falsely link someone who's driven by high principles, who really is passionate and wants to help people, with someone like Julien Blanc, who just represents a kind of a low-life element within society. But this is what they do all the time. And it's, again, it is what the media does. It is very frustrating, you know, when you try to do a show like what I'm doing here for you today, to know that we're up against such a mountain of lies and deceit and evil and wickedness. And the temptation, I can tell you, the temptation is very strong to just bury one's head in the sand and give up. And I think that indeed is why most people don't ever even take action, is because they feel that monumental sense of hopelessness and pointlessness of trying to take on something that is so powerful. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bury my head in the sand. I know that simply talking about these things and giving air to it, pointing out the lies, pointing out the contradictions, is something extremely valuable. And I do wish that this show in particular could be better. And I certainly am aware of its shortcomings. But I think that the perspective that we bring to you on this show is valid in itself, and I think it is important enough that it must continue. So I do hope that you understand that. And if you're listening to this show as an occasional listener, maybe you could think about becoming a subscriber. It's only going to cost you $65 a year, but it will make a huge amount of difference to me and to the show if you're able to do that. And you can do that very easily by heading on over to truthnews.com.au and clicking on the subscribe banner. Now, I've got one more story to quickly run past you today. We have a huge news story today about 2014 being the hottest in modern history. And I'm going to read to you briefly from the ABC article on that. And I'm also going to read to you a rebuttal written by Mark Morano on the same topic. So from the ABC, 2014 was the hottest in modern history, US scientists find. Record-breaking temperatures scorched the planet last year, making 2014 the hottest in more than a century and raising new concerns about global warming, US government scientists say. The data from America's space agency NASA shows that not only was 2014 the warmest year recorded since 1880, 10 of the hottest years on record have happened since 1998. Researchers say the trend is being driven by human emissions of greenhouse gases, particularly the burning of fossil fuels. Okay. Its analysis is backed up by a separate independent report from NASA's sister agency, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. NASA said 2014 was the latest in a series of warm years, in a series of warm decades, and it attributed the long-term trends to drivers of climate change it said were dominated by human emissions of greenhouse gases. Parts of the world that saw record heat included Russia, Western Alaska, the Western US, parts of interior South America, parts of eastern and western coastal Australia, North Africa, and most of Europe. While the ranking of individual years can be affected by chaotic weather patterns, the long-term trends are attributable to drivers of climate change that right now are dominated by human emissions of greenhouse gases, said Gavin Schmidt, director of NASA's Goddard Institute of Space Studies in New York. Now let's have a quick look at what Mark Morano from Climate Depot had to say. There are dueling global data sets, surface temperature records and satellite records, and they disagree. The satellites show an 18-year plus global warming standstill, and the satellite was set up to be more accurate than the surface records. Any temperature claim of hottest year based on surface data is based on hundredths of a degree hotter than previous hottest year's measurements. This immeasurable difference is not even within the margin of error of temperature gauges. The claim of the hottest year is simply a political statement, not based on temperature facts. Hottest year claims are based on minute fractions of a degree, while ignoring satellite data showing Earth is continuing the 18-year plus pause or standstill. Claiming 2014 is the hottest year on record, based on hundredths of a degree temperature difference, is a fancy way of saying the global warming pause is continuing. So that's something to bear in mind, because you're going to be hearing a lot again in the news over the next few days about this startling new report. And it certainly, you know, when you read the ABC article and you read, the lead paragraph, record-breaking temperatures scorched the planet last year, making 2014 the hottest in more than a century. It really seems like it's, my God, you know, it must have been a terrible year. Whereas, in fact, if we actually do look at the data sets, and I will continue to do that in future shows, you'll probably find that it's, yes, it may be like this marginal increase this year. Basically, what the skeptics have been saying all along is there's been a pause, right? So any tiny little variations are statistically insignificant. And other experts have come forward to state that. Look, that's our show for this week, folks. I will be back next week. We don't have a second hour interview for you today, but we will next week. So I will return next week. For our live listeners, we'll have a replay. Stay tuned.